Chapter 6. Elias. The Grand Lodge is exactly as Elias remembered it, a militaristic compound of low wooden buildings nestled in the ashwood. The lodge represents everything the Rangers stand for. It's simple, functional, austere, traits that have been ingrained in the culture for centuries, with natural fortifications of bare stone and watchtowers constructed from roughly hewn timbers. It seems an organic extension of the forest itself, a homestead that builds upon nature rather than destroying it, a refuge from the civilized world.
Not a refuge for me, though, Elias thinks as he rides with the other rangers up the road. Not anymore.
He's a prisoner now, even though no manacles bind his wrists. He's a stranger in his own home, an aberration, a nightingale and a ranger. The men and women he served with, the rangers he has known for years, now look at him like a vagabond, a drifter who may very well be judged a traitor.
Light, it's like I'm a completely different person in their eyes.
There is little fanfare as the long column of rangers returns, their prisoners in tow. The Battle of Dunmar City may be over, but the threat of the R'hllar still looms over everyone, so there is little reason to celebrate. The few guards who had remained behind nod quietly at the returning army, their bows knocked and their posture ever vigilant. Tamara leads them into the lodge, her back straight as an arrow and her head held high.
She's a natural, Elias thinks to himself, admiring her from several yards away. It's like she was born to lead us. I never liked Thorn. It's good to have someone competent leading us again.
He dismounts with the others and takes his horse by the reins, breathing deeply of the crisp woodland air. The scent of wood smoke fills his nose, along with the faint smell of roasting lamb. His stomach grumbles, but his mind remains sharp.
I'm not at liberty to wander about, he reminds himself. I mustn't give them any reason to mistrust me. I need to do what I'm told until after I've been tried.
Remaining by his horse's side, he waits patiently for Tamara to give him further instructions. Her hands are full, directing a group of rangers to set up a temporary staging area for the prisoners to make camp until further accommodations can be arranged. No grumbling is made by a single ranger, even knowing they'll have to house those whom they had once seen as allies until all can be settled with the king. Only Moore seems to be the most disgruntled out of the group of kingsmen. Tamara has him taken to a holding cell, separate from the others so as not to stir up any trouble. Those not assigned to taking care of the prisoners go about their own way, some moving to the barracks, others to the mess hall, while the remainder take up posts around the compound, picking up chores wherever they need completing. Tamara confers with some of the wardens before finally turning her attention to Elias. She meets his gaze, and for a moment they merely stare at each other, neither betraying their innermost thoughts. When she approaches him, her expression hardens.
"We will begin the trial as soon as possible," she says, resting a hand on the pommel of her sword. "There are matters that I need to attend to first, but they shouldn't take long. The hearing will be at dusk."
Elias nods, but doesn't reply.
"Adriana,"
she says, speaking curtly to one of the nearby rangers. "See to Ranger Keen. Make sure he's comfortable and that he's given food. But keep a close eye on him. We'll gather for his hearing in the main hall at sunset. Understood?"
"Yes, Master Warden."
With that, she departs, walking away from the two of them and disappearing in the crowd. Adriana follows Elias like a shadow, mutely watching as he fills his belly with a meal of rice and mutton. He barely tastes the food, his thoughts distant as he sits like a pariah in the mess hall, alone except for his guard. He doesn't mind the solitude. It allows him time to think. He finishes quickly, then heads to the postmaster, requesting parchment and a pen.
"If things go badly, I want to say goodbye to Owen," he thinks, settling down and writing his thoughts upon the page.
He's far from eloquent, his penmanship atrocious as he scrawls out the last words he wants to impart to his apprentice. The message isn't particularly long, but it is heartfelt, a last admonition and an expression of pride. Pride at the man Owen has become, and pride that his father no doubt feels for him beyond the grave. Grunting in satisfaction, he sprinkles sand on the letter and blows on it to dry the ink. He folds the parchment and tucks it into his cloak, but before he leaves, an impulse strikes him, an idea for another letter he should write. Initially, he rejects the idea, wanting to toss such nonsense away and forget about it, but something tells him to follow through and pen the words burning in his mind. Settling back down, he pulls out a fresh sheet and begins to write once more, his thoughts flowing naturally. After a time, another ranger enters the small cabin, declaring that the wardens are ready for him, and they need to head to the main hall immediately.
"Of course," Elias says, scratching his name at the bottom. "Give me one moment."
He skims over the page before him, cringing as he reads the words he's just written.
"There's a reason I avoid this sort of thing," he thinks. "At least I'll be dead by the time she reads it."
Before sanding and folding the letter and placing it beside the other one in his cloak, he writes a single name at the top. Tamara. Two guards lead Elias across the field to the main hall of the Grand Lodge, their hands never straying far from their weapons. Everyone around watches the procession in grim silence, all work ceasing as they stare at the man striding resolutely toward his trial. Disciplinary hearings only happen on the rarest of occasions, and most of the time they end up with a hanging or a beheading. Oaths are everything to the rangers, and oath-breakers are considered to be the vilest of offenders. Elias takes the gawking with his head held high, his gaze never wavering from his destination. He marches weaponless, his bare hands hanging loosely at his sides, and his cloak billowing freely behind him.
"You know the protocol, Elias," one of the men says as they approach the threshold. "No threatening movements and no speaking out of turn. Don't give us any reason to use these." He taps the hilt of his longsword. "Don't worry," he replies dryly. "I won't do anything stupid." "Good," his guard nods curtly. "You're a good ranger, Elias. I hate that they're dragging you through this process, but we have our duties." "Yes," Elias mutters in response. "As do we all."
They enter the dimly lit hall and close the doors behind them, crossing the dirt floor toward the lights on the far end. A single chair has been set out in the middle, which the guards indicate belongs to Elias. He immediately sits down, the guards assuming positions behind him as he takes stock of the room. The wardens sit in a semicircle facing Elias's seat, their line of chairs flanked by two braziers. All of them rest straight-backed and unmoving, their faces expressionless and their strung bows resting on their laps. Each of them carries a single arrow. The iron broadheads a reminder of what Elias might face if he is found guilty, a quick and sudden death at the hands of his friends. Warden Quinn, newly raised to the rank of First Warden and Watcher of the East, addresses him, his voice carrying in the empty hall.
"Elias Keane, we have gathered here today to address the charges leveled against you, charges to which you yourself have admitted to the Master Warden. Before we start, do you have any questions for the wardens?"
Elias meets Quinn's gaze. "No, First Warden."
"Good," he replies with a singular nod. "Now let us begin."
He turns to Tamara, who regards each of the four wardens in turn. Light's Edge, the ancient and ceremonial sword of the Grand Master, rests in her lap instead of a bow, and she wears a silver brooch in the shape of an arrowhead, a simple indication of her office.
"Today we must decide whether Ranger Elias Keane broke the Ranger's oath. After the Battle of Dunmar City, we spoke, and he admitted to being a member of the Nightingales since he was a child. He joined the Rangers at the behest of the rebel protector, Xander Thel, and planned on gathering information as a spy.
She let her words sink in before continuing, the silence lingering over the shadowy hall.
Since taking the oath, however, he claims to have had a change of heart. According to him, he's done nothing to break his oath and still acts in accordance with his duties as a ranger. Have I misspoken?
You have not, Master Warden, Elias replies evenly.
Acted in accordance with his duties,
Warden Yvette, the black-haired Watcher of the North, scoffs. She leans over, giving Tamara a skeptical look.
And we found him defending the Nightingale stronghold against the king's own army. Sounds like treason to me.
She chuckles, her throaty voice utterly mirthless.
Most of the Rangers fought with the Nightingales in that battle,
Warden Clark, the Watcher of the South, replies. He is the youngest of the wardens, having replaced the vacancy left by Gareth Carr. Shrugging, he settles back in his chair.
By that logic, aren't we all traitors?
Perhaps we are,
she replies, her dark eyes glittering.
Only time will tell. The actions we took in defense of Dunmar City were voted on by this very group,
Tamara says sharply. She shoots Warden Yvette a withering glance.
No quarter was given by General Moore, as per the usual edicts of war, and we were defending the innocent as well as two of our apprentices. But that is not what we are discussing here today.
Yvette bows her head in acquiescence.
As you say, Master Warden.
Warden Duncan, the oldest of the lot, clears his throat.
She does bring up an interesting point. Ranger Keane, you left your apprentice in the Emberwood, against all protocol, I might add, to liaison with the Nightingales, did you not?
I did.
Well, he says, that does call into question your motives and your commitment to abide by the Ranger's oath. What sort of master would leave his apprentice to seek out rebels of the crown?
Elias doesn't flinch.
Owen Lund is an exceptional student, one who is frankly ready to become a full ranger. In light of the demon attack on Forest Hill, I thought it prudent to warn the protector of the threat facing his people. An effort I believed would help unite the kingdom against the R'hllar.
And how did that work out?
Yvette interjects. Elias holds his tongue, matching her gaze with a look of pure iron.
Let us continue,
Quinn says after a moment, breaking the uncomfortable silence.
You've served our order well for many years, Ranger Keane. You've defended the realm from beasts, bandits, and now even demons. By all appearances, you are the very model of what a ranger should be.
Years of service do not absolve him of any wrongdoings,
Warden Duncan puts in.
No, the First Warden concedes. It does not.
I'm still trying to understand how to account for all your years of service,
Yvette says, with thinly veiled contempt.
How can we know that you haven't been feeding the Nightingales information in secret, protecting them from within our ranks?
You can't, Elias says candidly. You have my word alone.
And what,
Duncan says, leaning forward expectantly,
do you say?
I severed ties with the Nightingales after I swore the oath, he explains. To them I was a defector, a turncoat. If I had shown my face in Dunmar City, there was a very real chance the Protector would have thrown me in his dungeon or worse. He very nearly did, even though I had General Boris to vouch for me when we approached him.
Interesting,
Duncan muses, leaning back in his seat with the creak of leather.
So,
Yvette says,
we have nothing but your word to prove that you weren't actively working against us. How convenient.
Still, the facts are laid before us. You left your apprentice without notifying the lodge and conspired with the rebels, even fighting a war against your king.
I did what I felt was right, Elias replies, keeping his anger in check. I should have sent a message to the Master Warden, but I acted according to my conscience. The Ark of Radiance is failing, and the war against the R'hllar is greater than any of us. Even the King.
Silence follows his last statement, some of the Wardens eyeing each other meaningfully. One of them, however, lets out an amused laugh. Warden Clark sets his bow aside and claps, a broad smile splitting his red-bearded face.
"Well spoken," he declares, regarding Elias. "I couldn't have said it better myself." "Control yourself," Duncan snaps. "This is a solemn assembly, not some roadside tavern."
"No," Clark agrees, still smiling. "If this were a tavern, we'd have come to a conclusion by now. Nothing loosens the tongue quite like ale."
Tamara gives him a reproachful look.
"And have you come to a conclusion, Warden Clark?"
Clark nods.
"I have. It's obvious to me that this solemn assembly is a farce. This is Elias Bloody Keen we have here. I remember hearing legends about him when I was an apprentice. If ever there was a man who abided by the Ranger's oath, it's him. I don't care where he came from or what his relationship with the Nightingales was or is. War is coming, and I'd feel much better knowing he was on our side when the demons break through the Ark."
Elias suppresses a smile. He isn't familiar with Warden Clark, but he's grateful to have at least one advocate among his judges.
"If you're so confident, Clark, let us cast our votes now," Yvette says, sneering. "Our minds seem to be made up. For some of us, oath-keeping is still a priority for the Rangers." "Is there anything else you would like to add before we vote, Elias?"
Tamara's voice is soft, even if her expression remains impassive. Elias looks at each of the Wardens, trying to determine what, if anything, he should say. "I've never been one for words," he thinks, breathing deeply of the stale, smoky air. "But this could be the last chance I have to speak.
Better make use of it."
He clears his throat and stands, causing the guards behind him to tense and grasp the hilts of their swords.
"All of you know me," he says gruffly, "some better than others. But you have all worked with me in one form or another. I have always only ever served the people of this realm, protecting them from threats within and without the borders of the Ark of Radiance."
He pauses, looking to Tamara, his eyes meeting hers and holding their attention.
"I've made mistakes in the past, many of which I'm not proud of, and I've paid the price for those mistakes every single day. But before you pass judgment on me, know that I've fought tirelessly for the Rangers and for the people of this kingdom. There's an enemy still out there that will stop at nothing to destroy everything we hold dear. The Nightingales and the Rangers need to work together, now more than ever, and my experience puts me in a unique position to serve both, to bridge the gap between us for the greater good of everyone."
Yvette sniffs derisively, but the others regard him curiously, their eyes studying him from across the room. Finally, Quinn stands and addresses everyone in attendance. "As leaders of the Rangers, we have discussed the situation and allowed Elias Keen to speak his piece. Now it comes time to vote." Turning his gaze on his fellow Wardens, he asks, "All those who believe Elias guilty of breaking the Ranger's oath and worthy of receiving capital punishment, please raise your bows." Warden Yvette, of course, raises her bow proudly into the air, her smoky eyes never leaving Elias. Warden Duncan, too, raises his bow, but does so reluctantly, his ancient visage reflecting his sadness. Nobody else moves. "And those," Quinn continues, "who find Elias not guilty and wish to absolve him of any crimes committed against the Ranger's oath, please cast your bows aside." Warden Clark winks at Elias and tosses his bow to the ground, his posture relaxed as he leans back in his chair. Warden Quinn also drops his bow, his expression solemn. All eyes turn to the Master Warden, who sits in the center of the semicircle, and has yet to cast her vote. Her blue eyes, usually so cold and incisive, appear unsure as they study Elias, her brows pinching together in thought. Elias holds her stare, something unspoken passing between them, a conversation felt rather than expressed.
"Come on, Tamara," he thinks, his posture rigid as he eyes her. "You know me better than all of this. Do the right thing. Please. For what we once had. For the me you know. For us."
Finally she stands, her gaze still fixed firmly on Elias as she slowly gets to her feet. She extends Light's Edge, the beautifully crafted sword, outstretched horizontally in front of her like a scale weighing his very soul. Then, after what feels like an eternal minute, she drops the weapon, letting it fall to the ground. Elias lets out a breath he didn't know he was holding.
"The majority stands with Elias Keane," the First Warden declares, a small smile tugging at the corner of his mouth. "Go, and continue to live up to your oath, Ranger. You are excused."
Yvette mutters something snide under her breath, and Clark lets out a laugh, the latter slapping his thigh and saying,
"Now that that's over, let's head over to the mess hall, eh, Dunk? It's not a tavern, but it'll do. Let's wash away this unpleasantness with some ale."
Duncan gives him a wan smile, his weathered features looking more tired than they had before. Elias stands and nods to Quinn, then looks back at Tamara, who inclines her head ever so slightly. He salutes her, then turns to depart, the guards standing aside to allow him to leave unmolested. For the first time in many years, he truly feels like a free man.